I don't know if you know this, but I'm a man of very deep prayer, and I have very intense experiences during prayer. I don't usually share this, but yesterday we have a chapel in our rectory, and so in the morning I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament. In all humility, I'll tell you this: the room started to shake. When that happened, actually, I was in the chapel when that was happening, and I was like, "Well, okay, it's one of those little earthquakes," and then it intensified. So I, you know, grabbed the arms of the chair, and I'm like, "I probably should like move it outside or something." And so it continued on, and I was like, "Okay, it's diminishing," and then it intensified again, and I still stayed there, just grabbing onto the arms of the chair. And you know, after it was over. Being a little bit traumatized, I was like, you know, I probably should have got out of the house. You know, I've been told is that when you are, you know, a long time ago, if you're ever in an earthquake, that you don't, you know, go outside, run outside. And that was a long time ago, actually. It was when I was doing my stint in Mexico, learning Spanish when I was a seminarian. So I would never have to worry about that in Kansas. So it certainly wasn't on my mind. Well, you know, it was like this experience is happening to me, and I'm not very prepared, and so I don't really know how to respond. So if it would have been more severe, I would have just, you know, and the house would have collapsed, I would have just went down with it. You know, when it comes to discipleship, Jesus is laying down the demands, the cost of discipleship, and when it comes to being a disciple, I think it's important to keep in mind the origins of that word. So it goes back to the Greek philosophers who were masters. They were, and the word master literally means teacher. Okay, so Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, these were masters. And then they would have people that would follow them. They were their disciples. Okay, so that's where the word comes from. And sometimes the word disciple is translated as student. But it's much more than a student. Like, we think about a student, they go to a class and they get some information. When a disciple was following a master, he stayed with them and lived with the master, right? So you can kind of see that in Jesus. You know, Jesus with his disciples, with his apostles. And it's more than just learning information. It's learning and modeling a whole way of life. So there is certainly learning that's going on. Well, you know, you think about the cost of discipleship. So Jesus is talking about, you know, hating our father and mother. Unless you do that, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you take up your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. What Jesus is doing is he's teaching his, as the master, his followers, a particular way of life. He's teaching them a way of life so that they know how to respond, okay, in a Christian way, when the different things in life, you know, come fall upon them or attack them. So, you know, for me, when it comes to earthquakes, I am not very learned. So if I don't really know what to do and I need to learn what to do, we probably all need to learn what to do maybe. I was thinking of another example about a month ago at a daily Mass. I had started the Mass and I was sitting up here with the servers. And a very large man starts approaching the sanctuary. And so this was like 4 days after that the priest in France had his throat slit in the sanctuary. And so I was like, oh, what do I do? You know, okay, like if I would have been prepared to that, you know, with that situation, with that event happening, I would have what? Immediately got the servers into the sacristy and closed the door. But I kind of just sat there, stood there like a, you know, deer in the headlights. And he came down and he just knelt and prayed while I was saying the prayers. So I was like, okay, and then he left away. But people after Mass were kind of visibly shaken because they were like, you know, Father, you know, if something like that happens, you need to be, you know, to be prepared. And so it wasn't that I didn't want to do the right thing. I didn't know what to do. Discipleship is, there is so much learning and formation that has to happen in discipleship. Okay, and one particular area is in the area of crosses and sufferings. And if we don't know how to respond to them according to how the master has taught us, we're going to end up, you know, in the house that's collapsed, right? And we're going to end up being a certain kind, particular kind of victim instead of having the opportunity to use these situations, these sufferings, as a way to deeper relationship with God. So let's go into this a little bit deeper. Jesus says, unless you take up your cross, your own cross, not somebody else's cross, unless you take up your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you carry your cross. Okay, I get that. So Jesus is saying that the cross is very important for the Christian life. Well, first of all, it's like, how often do we really take that serious, that the cross is essential to the Christian life? He doesn't say, if you have a cross, then carry it, and you can be my disciple. You know, he said, take up your own cross. You have a cross. You have crosses, okay? So it's not like, hope I get out of it. Nope. All of us have crosses. And we're going to go into that in a second. Well, first of all, you know, when it comes to crosses in life, how many of us are intentional about, looking at crosses and seeing them as an opportunity and a means to follow the master more closely? Very, very few of us, because that's not our default way of thinking, right? When it comes to suffering, what do we immediately do? Rebel against it, right? React against it, push it away. And so what we're receiving is instruction upon how to deal with sufferings, with crosses in our life. So I don't say this too often because it challenges me to kind of step it up another level. I talk a lot about prayer and the importance of prayer and spending a lot of time in prayer and how that's essential to holiness. And if you pray well and you're praying continuously, you're going to have a deep relationship with God. There's only one other way that I think is better and will move you more quickly to deep intimacy with the Lord. And I hate to say it, but it's our crosses. Our crosses are the number one way in which we draw close to the Lord. I hate saying that because that means I have to do it now. Okay, because I'm with anybody else. I'm one of the first ones to complain, right? Or maybe even to do it, you know, take up my crosses begrudgingly. All right, so we're gonna take this serious today. We're gonna take this, you know, the master teaching us as disciples this way of life. He's informing us of how to live in the midst of crosses and sufferings. So if this is true, I want to be intentional about it. I want to do it. I want to actually start embracing this as a way of life and recognizing it as something that is one of the jewels of life, in the sense that it will lead me to deep relationship and with the Lord and holiness. So what are my crosses? What are our sufferings and crosses? Sometimes I think that's what the translation from, you know, taking up your cross to what are your actual crosses. I think we haven't done much thinking about that, and so it's difficult. But you don't have to think, well, okay, I'm going to embrace my cross now, okay? And that means, oh no! You know, it's just going to befall us. So, you know, sufferings of all kind are going to be poured out upon us. That's a real trick of the evil spirit, because if we have that mindset of that thinking, we're never going to open ourselves up to taking on crosses, because we're going to think, okay, if I say that I'm going to accept crosses, then the Lord's just going to pour all kinds of suffering on me. You see what I'm saying? And so immediately you think, resist it. I'm not going to go in that direction. Nope, that's not at all. Your crosses are already present. You don't have to look anywhere. Just right there, they are with you. And so what are these crosses involved? Any kind of struggle and suffering that we have in our lives. So it can be on the level of just human nature, as our bodies. You know, maybe there's sickness that we're, a particular sickness that we're carrying physically. Maybe it's just aging in general. Those are sufferings. And so those can be embraced and carried for love of God. And then they become the cross that leads us to the Lord, an even more powerful cross than prayer. An even more powerful cross than prayer. How about one thing that we're all reading more about is that the presence of mental illness, depression, anxiety, all of these struggles. There's a lot of people suffering from these things. Are those crosses? You better believe it. So we can fight or resist those kind of things, or we can bear them and carry them, and they become what? As St. Catherine of Siena says, they allow us to pluck the rose from the thorns. And so they become an encounter with the Lord and not an obstacle to the Lord. Very important. They become an encounter with the Lord. All right? What about, by the way, because you're suffering maybe physical evils or spiritual evils, whatever the sufferings, that doesn't mean you don't still strive to improve things. You do. I mean, that's what the Lord calls us to do. You want to get better. But the reality is, there's a lot of things that no matter how hard we try and what we know, it's not going to get much better, right? It's not going to get much better. So we can still work for progress while carrying our cross. What about, in regards to our life and our hopes and our dreams, in our, you know, what we had aspired to do as far as job and in the work world, and we have not accomplished anything near of what we had hoped. Maybe we have done well and been completely overlooked. Maybe we've been, even kind of rejected because of pride and vanity and envy in the workplace. Are those sufferings? Oh, yes. Those are sufferings that can be embraced as a cross and become an encounter with Christ. That's even deeper than prayer. But most of the time, what do? We can critique and we complain and we compare, right? And so instead of those sufferings being an opportunity for encounter with the Lord, they end up crushing us and becoming an obstacle to the Lord. All right, here's one that I think that people don't think about a lot. We have a number of sins that we're carrying, right? And if you're here at Mass, I don't think there's any doubt that you're trying to make improvement in your moral life, right? There's things that people go to confession on a regular basis. And they don't seem to make much improvement. They would like to make improvement. The sufferings that, is there a suffering that's associated with sin that we are having a very difficult time overcoming? Yes. So what can happen is that we can actually embrace our weakness as a cross. See, that doesn't mean that we're not still striving to improve ourselves morally. But one might find oneself, suffering from some kind of an addiction, right? That's sinful, or habitual sin. There is a suffering in that one can embrace, and then it becomes a cross that, again, drives one deeper into the Lord. So what do we have here? We have a real difficult teaching, an extremely difficult teaching from Jesus about being a disciple. But the reality is, whether you accept his teaching and embrace it or not, you're still going to have the same sufferings and struggles. Because it's not going to be like, okay, I'm not going to accept that teaching, so it'll all be okay with me. No, not at all. We're still going to keep the same sufferings and struggles that we have at the present moment. And we're still all going to die, right? But now, because of Christ, we have an opportunity to take straw and to make it into gold, really. And when it came to discipleship and masters in Greek philosophy, and even during the time of Jesus, the teaching happened more by not like information being conveyed about explaining concepts, but living it out, like modeling it by the way one lives. And so who's the master teacher? Jesus Christ. And so what does he show us in the midst, the worst moment of darkness in his suffering? What does he do? He takes the rose from the thorns and says, "This is my body, which will be given up for you."